Hello, queers. You're listening to Movies a la Queer. This is Sarita Ramirez. And on this episode, we're going to explore an immensely underrated film that I only watched for the first time just a few weeks ago, and I'm still not over it. It is recognized as one of the first, if not the first, Black lesbian narrative feature film. Here, you watch a lesbian Philadelphian's pursuit and determination in giving a woman a name in history while battling social stigmas of race and relationships. The film we're exploring is 1996, The Watermelon Woman. The Watermelon Woman, a 1996 American romantic comedy written and directed by Cheryl Dunier, starring Cheryl Dunier, Guinevere Turner, and Valerie Walker. 25-year-old Cheryl is a Black lesbian filmmaker in Philadelphia with a purpose to make a documentary centering on a forgotten 1930s actress while dealing with issues of race and homophobia. Here's the trailer.
Hi, I'm Cheryl, and I'm a filmmaker. I'm not really a filmmaker, but I have a videotaping business with my friend Tamara, and I work at a video store, so I'm working on being a filmmaker. The problem is I don't know what I want to make a film on. I know it has to be about Black women because our stories have never been told, so I've been renting movies. No, I haven't been renting movies, but I get movies from the video store that I work at, and I've taken all these films out from the 30s and 40s with Black actresses in them, like Hattie McDaniel and Louise Beavers. And in these films, in some of the films, the Black actresses aren't even listed in the credits. And I was just totally shocked by that. So in this one film that came into the store, Plantation Memories, I saw the most beautiful Black mammy named Elsie. And I just had to show this, so. Watch.
Oh, don't cry, Missy. Master Charles is coming back for sure. I know he is.
Do you really think so, Elsie?
Oh, yes, Missy Barbara, I know he is. I prayed to God all night long, and this morning, his little angel told me that he was coming back. Back to you.
Her name, the Watermelon Woman. That's right, Watermelon Woman. Is Watermelon Woman her first name, her last name, or is it her whole name? I don't know, but girlfriend has it going on, and I think I've figured out what my project's gonna be on. I'm gonna make a movie about her. I'm gonna find out what her real name is, who she was and is, everything I can find out about her. Because something in her face, something in the way she looks and moves is serious, is interesting. And I'm gonna just tell you all about it.
This film takes place in the late 90s of Philadelphia. We meet Cheryl, a 25-year-old Black lesbian documentarian. I think that's how you call him. A documentary filmmaker who works at a rental store alongside her best friend Tamara. They film wedding videos on the side or other video film events. Cheryl and Tamara couldn't be more different. Cheryl is single, calm, a bit shy, but very friendly. Tamara is a bit more abrasive, tells it like it is, and is in somewhat a steady relationship with a girl named Stacy. And because of that relationship, Tamara is aiming to set up her friend Cheryl with her own girlfriend's best friend, Yvette, who is completely wrong for Cheryl in every way, shape, or form. Cheryl tells Tamara that she has an idea for her next film project. It's going to be a documentary centering around a 1930s actress who was famous for playing mammy roles. And for those that don't know, the mammy role was a stereotypically cast black woman during the golden ages of film, from 1913 to about 1969. She would play a maid, a housekeeper, or a nanny. More on the mammy role later. Cheryl begins to uncover more about the Watermelon Woman, an actress we learned was named Faye Richards. Cheryl interviews her mother, who has never heard of this Watermelon Woman, but has heard of the name of Faye Richards. Cheryl's mother connects her with a friend, Lee Richards, a film collector who lets Cheryl know that although he doesn't know much about Faye, the Watermelon Woman, he's knowledgeable about the black culture in Philadelphia during the 1930s. And in those days, black actresses usually always played the mammy service help role in films. That week, Cheryl meets Diana, played by Guinevere Turner, at the video store that she works at part-time, who is newly moved to Philadelphia. They go back and forth on film suggestions, a little bit of light flirting, and Diana makes an indirect pass at Cheryl, but Cheryl is completely oblivious. Side note, don't you hate that? I am the worst flirt. I'm the type of flirt that apparently when I want to flirt, I come off slightly spastic, and when I'm not intentionally flirting, I get told I'm flirting. Anyway, back to the film. Diana and Cheryl run into each other again later while buying fruit from a truck vendor. They don't have much of a conversation, but Diana remembers her from the video store. We then see Cheryl and Tamara at the library searching up the databases for the Watermelon Woman, or Faye Richards. The librarian wasn't much of a help. It becomes apparent that information on black actresses weren't really collected back in the day. And doing some more digging and interviewing, Cheryl learns that Faye Richards was a singer active in the Philadelphia gay bar scene. She was also involved in race films, films made and produced for black audiences. It was rumored that Faye was also in a relationship with a white female director at the time, whose name was Martha Page. Diana and Cheryl get closer, eventually hooking up, and they become a couple. And this starts to stir some tension between Cheryl and her best friend Tamara, who is very critical of Diana. While the four of them, including Tamara's girlfriend Stacy, sit down for dinner, there's a clear discomfort in the air with how Tamara and her girlfriend treat Diana. They make underhand comments on Diana's privilege as a white woman and her possibly fetishizing black people. This creates a huge divide between Cheryl and Tamara. Well, eventually, Cheryl finds out that the actress Faye Richards' long-term partner, June Walker, still resides in Philadelphia. But before they could meet, June gets ill and is taken to the hospital. She leaves Cheryl a letter detailing her relationship with Faye and Faye's story and how she came about to being an actress in the 1930s. Cheryl learns that Faye's relationship with the female director, Martha Page, wasn't a great one, and in fact, Faye didn't like playing the mammy role in films. At this point, June pleads to Cheryl to not include Martha in Faye's documentary, as Faye shouldn't be remembered for her relationship with Martha, but for her own achievements, and the achievements of the lesbian community back in that day. Cheryl then sits down in front of her camera and tells us, her audience, that while she's learned a lot about Faye Richards, she wants to learn more about her and the lesbian, queer, black community back in the 1930s, 40s, and so on. We also learn that Cheryl's relationship with Diana has ended and that she hopes that her friendship with Tamara will mend itself in time. And just before the roll credits at the end of the film, Cheryl Dunier has inserted a quote. "Sometimes you have to create your own history. The Watermelon Woman is fiction." So from my gathering, The Watermelon Woman isn't a complete work of fiction, actually. Yes, the storyline of Cheryl and Diana and Faye Richards, the black actress from the 1930s, is fiction, but the interviews done on the street along with Cheryl's mother, in fact, are real. Cheryl Dunier calls this a Dunier-mentary, where she combines a documentary with a narrative story, adding autobiography, comedy, and real-life interviews. In an interview with Johanna Desta in Vanity Fair, Cheryl says, and I quote, "Nobody was doing Black lesbian features. Why was everybody else getting to tell a story? We need a Black lesbian feature film. So I knew that I was making that moment happen," unquote. Here are some of the themes that stood out to me, starting with the mammy role. In 1933, Hattie McDaniels was the first African-American actor to win an Academy Award for her role in Gone with the Wind. When people think about the mammy role back in that golden age of film, many think of Hattie McDaniels. Eleni Jones from BBC writes, and I quote, "The mammy role is traditionally depicted as a dark-skinned, overweight woman wearing a head wrap and shawl. The mammy is employed by a white family to care for their children and is utterly devoted to her charges," unquote. Later in the article, she writes, "The mammy was a creation of white supremacy, intended to bolster and legitimize the status quo. Or, to put it more simply, the U.S. were so desperate to be absolved of the crimes of slavery that such an absolver, maternal, asexual, ever loyal and Black mammy, had to be invented," unquote. In the film, we learn about the 30s, Faye Richards, and her love affair with a white female director named Martha Page. Martha would cast Faye in mammy roles, and eventually they separated before Faye's early retirement in the 40s. This relationship parallels Cheryl's relationship with Diana, the new resident in Philadelphia, who seems to have a lot of connections and is very knowledgeable about the Black culture. Yet their relationship receives a lot of scrutiny from Tamara, Cheryl's best friend. There are moments in the film when Tamara asks Cheryl if she wants to be white and if Cheryl even loves herself. The stigma, the toxicity of those words is such a huge trigger for me, as I myself am in an interracial relationship. And apart from what our society has taught us in questioning our own beauty by the bullshit Eurocentric beauty standards engraved in us from infancy, I never associated it with dating people outside of my quote-unquote race. I identify as a Black Afro-Latinx woman who is dating a French European woman. And I've also gotten some side remarks on dating white girls, which is just so offensive and not only to me and my girlfriend or my previous partners, but also to the person who's spouting out the words. It's a closed-minded ideal that does affect people in our generation, generations before us, and very prevalent in the LGBTQ community. And yet, another thing I loved about The Watermelon Woman was how in the ending, June Walker, Faye Richards' partner, reminds Cheryl that the documentary she's making on Faye should also focus on Faye's life story, apart from her relationships with Martha and with herself. This brings me to my final theme of the film, which was self-love and self-discovery. Cheryl is in her mid-20s working at a film store while also shooting videos at weddings and local events as a side gig, but she sees herself as a filmmaker. And you really get to follow Cheryl's determination and growth in the film, the growth of her confidence as a filmmaker. And she doesn't give up and is relentless in finding out more information about Faye Richards. You see Cheryl respect herself more and more as a filmmaker, despite the teasing that she receives from Tamara in the beginning of the film. The Watermelon Woman was a fun experience to watch. It was definitely different from other lesbian-focused films that I've seen. And it really made me want to dive into the 90s film culture. If you want to see The Watermelon Woman, it's available to stream on Hulu, Amazon Prime, Vudu, and YouTube TV. Thank you all for listening to Movies a la Queer. And if you haven't done so already, follow on Instagram and TikTok for the latest podcast updates and my mini reviews. I can't get enough of them. Please also leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to Movies a la Queer. This would make Movies a la Queer easier to find in the search bar. This is Sarita Ramirez. Stay safe, stay warm, and I will see you next week.